Corinthians 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. Let's bow our hearts together. Our Father, in the glorious, glorious name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we come with thankful hearts, come with a wonderful knowledge that you are our Savior, that you are our Redeemer, that you who bought us and paid for us, and that we're no longer our own, that you own us, and we gladly have it so. And Lord, we thank you for this time that you've enabled us to gather together. And Lord, there's people who have needs, financial needs, physical needs, mental needs, emotional needs. And then there's people, Lord, that's so sick. We ask for your mercies on them. Ask for you to raise them up, strengthen them, encourage them. Continue to bless Kathleen and cause her to get stronger and stronger. And our Savior, we ask again for those that we love that don't have any interest in you at all. You never enter their minds. You never cross their minds. You enter not into the thoughts. But Lord, there was a time that you never entered my thoughts. So, Lord, if there was hope for me and you could save me and would save me, I'll not despair of what you'll do for those that I love and those that others among us love, their children, grandchildren, wives, husbands. Lord, we commit it all to you. Ask for your power, and your presence in this service tonight. For Christ's sake, amen. Come with me back here to 1 Corinthians 15. Paul says in these first four verses about the gospel, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. The gospel is a declaration. Nothing to be debated, argued over, but just a declaration, a proclamation, which also you have received. This gospel I declared unto you, received it. And you stand in this gospel. You stand in the gospel I preached to you. You stand before God. Your faith stands in this gospel. Your hope stands in this gospel. Your eternal life stands in this gospel that you've heard, this blessed good news, by which also you're saved. This gospel saves you. It saves you. If you keep in memory, hold fast to it, and what I preached unto you, unless you come to find out what you believed, you really didn't believe it, and you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, this is the gospel that I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. I want to talk about preaching the Lord Jesus Christ from the Old Testament. And that's what Paul, when he talks about the Scriptures here, died for our sins according to the Scriptures, buried and raised again the third day according to the Scriptures. He's talking about the Old Testament Scriptures. These Scriptures were just written. He had just written them. So when he talks about the Scriptures, he's talking about all the Old Testament before the New was ever written. Now, some preachers have a problem preaching from the Old Testament, or don't have a problem preaching from the Old Testament, but finding the Lord Jesus Christ and preaching him for him from the Old Testament, it's hard for a lot of people, hard for a lot of preachers. But as you read the book of Acts, you'll see that's exactly what every apostle preached. They preached Christ from the Old Testament. You go through Acts chapter 2, when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, and it's untold the number of scriptures that he used just in that one message, that he quoted from the Psalms, he used David, he used Moses. And so you find all the apostles, when they preached in the book of Acts, they used the Old Testament scriptures. Now you keep this and look with me over in Acts chapter 17. Look in Acts chapter 17. Here's what I'm talking about. That's why Paul said, I preach that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. In Acts 17, he says this, now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, the way he lived and the way he did things, went in unto them in three Sabbath days, reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. You know, now he says reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. Now what did he reason with them about? He took the Scriptures and began to teach them. He is opening the Scriptures and alleging from those Scriptures that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the day. And this Christ, this Jesus whom I preach unto you, is this Christ. That's who I'm preaching to you. Now, so he reasoned from the Scriptures. What Scriptures? The Old Testament Scriptures. Look in Acts 28 and verse 22. Acts 28, 22. Paul's in Rome now. He's up there to stand before Caesar. And a bunch of Jews came. And they said, we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest, as concerning this sect. And that's what they were called then. That's what Christians were called. That's what believers were called. They were called a sect. He said, I would like to know what you think about this sect. We know that every word is spoken against. If you as a Christian, you believed in Christ, you believed that the Lord Jesus Christ was the Christ, that Jesus of Nazareth was the Christ, you was considered somebody that is spoken against. Everybody who believed Christ is spoken against. The sect was spoken against. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many into him into his lodging. Now listen, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus. Listen to this. Both out of the law of Moses, he used the first five books of the Old Testament. That's the law of Moses. And out of the prophets, started as Isaiah, went through Jeremiah, went through Ezekiel, went through Daniel, went through the Zechariah. We was looking today through Zechariah, and I could not tell you how many instances Christ is talked about in the book of Zechariah. He's called the branch. He's called Zerubbabel. He's called Joshua. He's the one who raises up the temple and put the top stone on it, shouting grace, grace unto it. And so here, that's what he said. He expounded the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets. And listen to this. He did that from the morning all the way to the evening. Did it all day long, as long as somebody sat and listened to it. And he taught them that Christ was in all the prophets and in the law of Moses. And he expounded those things. Now there's Old Testament places that is so obvious that they speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. You take the Passover lamb. You take Isaiah 53. Take Psalm 22. Psalm 68. Psalm 110 that just outwardly speak. Psalm 23. Psalm 89. Just go on and on and on about so many that it, when you read them, you say, that's Christ right there. That's Christ. I hope I preached Christ last Sunday morning about from Jacob and Jacob his vision. But there's so many places. But to consistently view the Old Testament as revealing the Lord Jesus Christ, that becomes hard. That becomes hard. Should we view all the Old Testament as a testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ, a testimony to him, all of it? If that is true, we view all the Old Testament as testifying of the Lord Jesus Christ. If that's true, we should labor to find our Lord Jesus and preach him from the Old Testament. We ought to labor to do that. You know, they say this. They said the New Testament was in the Old concealed. The New Testament, John, James, Luke, Mark, all the Acts of the Apostles, all of them were in the Old Testament concealed. And then when the New Testament come, it revealed the Old Testament, the message of the Old Testament. And you take the book of Hebrews, and that's a perfect illustration of it. The book of Hebrews is all about all the temple, all the offerings, all the sacrifice, the priesthood, the prophets, the angels, and everything that existed under the Old Testament economy, they was taken and showed everything that come out of that spoke of our Lord Jesus Christ. Every single thing under the law, every sacrifice, every priest, the law, everything, it shows everything that Christ was a fulfillment of. And that's it all come from the Old Testament, every bit of it did. And he says, this is what the Old Testament said, and this is what Paul said. This is what this was speaking of when we got to it. That's what he's talking about. And that's why he said, but we see Jesus. And looking unto Jesus. And so let's tell you what. Let's see what we can find at. Look over here with me. The New Testament tells us the purpose of the Old Testament. Was to teach us, the New Testament tells us the purpose of the Old Testament is to tell us and teach us about Christ. Look in Romans chapter 15. Look in Romans chapter 15. The New Testament tells us the purpose of the Old is to teach us of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look what he says here. Verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Why? Here's the reason why. For even Christ pleased not himself. Now watch what he says. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. What scriptures? The only one they knew at that time. And he goes on to tell us here that the Old Testament was written for our learning of Christ. We that are strong ought to bear the infirmity of the weak. Where does this exhortation come from? Why does it say it here? Even as Christ pleased not himself in the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. You know where that's at? You keep Romans 15. Look in Psalm 69. Look in Psalm 69. This is where this comes from. And that's why he says the scriptures might give us comfort and patience. Psalm 69, verse 8 and 9. Look what he said here now. I am become a stranger unto my brethren and an alien unto my mother's children. His own brothers and sisters says, you know, said, if you be the Christ, you know, you want to be seen, you want to be heard, go up there and do all these miracles for all these people. For he says, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee. All the reproaches that we, who are God's elect, reproach Christ with, reproach God with, and said awful things about God, them reproaches fell on our Lord Jesus Christ. Because he pleased not himself. He didn't have to take the reproaches, but he said, all the reproaches that we made about God. How many things have we said about God? How many thoughts? And our Lord Jesus says, they all fell on me. And that's what he's talking about here. And then back over here in our text in Romans 15. This is why we want to please our neighbor, because Christ pleased not himself. So why should we seek to please ourselves? And we were weak, and he bore our infirmities, so we that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. And then look what he says here in verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime, what were they written for? Written for our learning. What are we to learn? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Learn the salvation we have in him. Learn about grace. Learn about the types. Learn about the pictures. Learn about the prophecies. They're written for our learning. And then he says, whatsoever thing. You know whatsoever thing is? That means everything. That means everything. And all was written to teach us of Christ. And that learning of him and learning what happened and all the saints that trusted him even back then, that we through learning we would have patience and we would have comfort from them very scriptures. And oh, that we had learned to wait. And this word patience here don't mean to sit down and just wait till something happens. That means that we're actively living. Just like Abraham lived and Isaac lived and Jacob lived and the apostles lived and the prophets lived. And they waited for the coming of Christ. These all died in what? Faith. They died not having received the promises, but they were persuaded of those promises. And so if they had patience, that's what they're written for us to wait on Christ. Wait for our trials to be to an end. And then I'll tell you, let me show you another one, talking about Christ in the Old Testament. 1 Corinthians 10. Look in 1 Corinthians 10. So the New Testament was to teach us. Tells us the purpose of the Old Testament is to teach us of our Lord Jesus Christ. They were written for our learning. And you ain't learning nothing. Somebody told me today that, it was Wayne Boyd told me today that he saw a sign on a church bulletin up there, a church thing up there that said, life's lessons. Life lessons. Life's lessons. And I said, well, the only life lesson I want to know is that Christ is my life. That's what I want to know. I'll learn life and I'll learn lessons in life as God teaches them to me. But I'm not going to get up here and teach you lessons about life. No, if Christ don't teach us, we ain't going to learn nothing. But oh, look what he said here now in verse 8. 1 Corinthians 10, 8 through 12. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. He's describing things that happened in the Old Testament. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written to admonish us upon whom the world's ends of the worlds have come. And wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Now, all the things that happened to Israel and all the way that God dealt with them, he says, don't let us commit fornication. What kind of fornication are they talking about here? They went after strange gods. That's the kind of fornication. They had the one true and living God, and God said, don't you go after these gods. Don't you go after these statues. Don't you go where people set up groves and set up idols, and don't you worship that. Don't you join yourself to men and women who worship strange gods. Well, they hadn't been out of there very long, and they got with the Moabites and started worshiping them Moabitish gods. God himself that day killed 23,000. And so what he's saying is, don't go after strange gods. Don't set no idols up. Don't go, if you worship your own will, you got an idol on your hand. If you worship your own goodness, you got an idol on your hand. If you're self-righteous, you got an idol on your hand. And I tell you, that's why he says, don't tempt Christ. Don't commit fornication. And then he says, neither let us tempt Christ. What is he talking about there? That they went and murmured and they got so mad at Moses and God, and they said, why did you bring us out into the wilderness? We just should have died in Egypt instead of dying here in the wilderness. God sent fiery serpents among them. They tempted him. You ought to just let us die. God said, you want to die? You want to get mad at me? You want to get mad at what I do for you? You want to get mad at how I deal with you? I brought you out of Egypt. I took you through the Red Sea. I put you on dry land. I fed you. I clothed you. You want bread? I gave you bread from heaven. You wanted water? I smote a rock and you got water. You wanted meat? I gave you quails to eat. And your clothes never waxed old and you never wore out your shoes. And now you're going to raise your fist in my face and tell me that you won't die, that you brought us in this awful place. He said, I know what I'll do. He sent fiery serpents among them. And you know who that fiery serpent represented, don't you? Huh? Oh, we live under grace. Thank God we do. I was reading there, you know, that God said, this is how I'll bless you if you do everything I tell you to do. If you do everything I tell you to do, I said, you know, he says, you'll never, ever want for nothing. But if you don't, there ain't nothing good going to ever happen to you. That's what law does. If you keep it, you're going to get greatly blessed. But if you don't keep it, you're going to be cursed. Thank God we're under the grace of God. And that's new covenant, oh my. But we find that all these things that happened in the Old Testament to these people in the Old Testament were to teach us not only what to do and what to believe, but what not to do. You know, David done some awful things, but we're not supposed to act like David. These people tempted Christ, so God sent fiery serpents. They did and they failed and they were destroyed of serpents. What does this tell us in John 3:14? Look at it just a minute. John 3:14. Look what our Lord said here. And this is, you know, all these things you can find in all, you can find it in the book of Numbers. Find it in Joshua. Where all these things happened to them. And look what our Lord Jesus Christ said here. And he shows us that this time they tempted Christ and they were destroyed of the serpents. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, tempting Christ, how's God going to save them? He's going to save them by a serpent lifted up. And everyone who looked to that serpent, no matter how sick they were, how weak they were, how frail they were, and maybe on the verge of death. But the minute they looked up and saw that serpent, they were healed just like that. And God made Christ to be sin for us, that he knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And God hung him up, just like Moses hung that serpent up in the wilderness. Even so, our Lord Jesus said, I got to be lifted up. We sang that old song, look and live, my brother, live, look and live. I say, look and live. Huh? And I tell you, beloved, that's the thing about it. Oh, don't tempt. Oh, we don't want to tempt Christ. And that's what he says. And then he goes on to say here in verse 10, neither murmur ye. What's murmuring mean? That means that you're just dissatisfied with what's going on. You're dissatisfied with what's going on. And some of them murmured also and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all of these things, every one of these things, happened unto them for ensamples, for pictures for us, to teach us. And they're written to admonish us, to warn us, upon whom the ends of the world have come. And you know who the world is? We're in the ends of the world. When Christ comes, this is, and the ends of the world's coming upon us, because we're in the last days. Let me show you another thing about how that they preach Christ from the Old Testament. Look over in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Oh, listen. Things were written. When we read back there and read about those things, they're written for our learning, for to teach us, to admonish us. Don't you act this way. Don't you murmur. Don't you tip Christ. Don't you complain. Don't you find fault with the Lord's dealings with you in this world. And you know why we get dissatisfied with what goes on in our lives and in the world. It's because we think we deserve better. We really think we deserve better. That's what we think. But over here in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, look what he said here. Whom having not seen, about the Lord Jesus Christ, you love him. You've not seen him, not like Peter saw him. And whom though you see him not now, yet you believe. And you rejoice with joy. Oh, you have joy when you think of Christ. You have joy when you think of the grace of God. You have joy when Christ, understand what Christ did for me. And it's unspeakable. You cannot speak about Christ and the joy in what he does for you. And it's full of glory. He is full of glory. And then, and here's the thing. Receiving the end of your salvation. The goal of your salvation. The end of your faith. The goal of your faith. When your faith comes to an absolute end and you don't need it anymore, you have the salvation of your souls. And then he's going to say, now what salvation of your souls? He said, of which salvation the prophets have inquired. What prophets? Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, all the minor prophets, Ezekiel, they searched. They took their own books as they wrote them down, and they began to search. They began to inquire in the things that God was giving them. And Jeremiah would take Isaiah would look at these, they'd look at one another's writings. And they'd see, what did he mean by that? What is it about? Who is that about? What is that telling us about? And they would inquire and search diligently. And so when they inquired and searched diligently of the salvation that the Old Testament taught us about and the salvation that Christ would bring, they prophesied. They searched diligently and prophesied of the grace that's going to come. And it's going to come to you. Now watch this. They searched. Searched what? Or what manner of time? Why? How did they do it? What were they searching? Christ. And what manner of time? The Spirit of Christ. Christ in them did signify and teach them. And listen to this. When it testified beforehand. They searched itself and testified beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and of the glory that should follow. And this salvation that we have and that we're going to receive the end of it, these fellas looked and looked and looked. Who was this salvation at? How's it going to come? When's it going to come? What's it going to do when it gets here? It's going to be of grace, and it's got to be of a man, and it's got to be, this man's got to come, and he must suffer. And he must have glory after he suffers. And so they searched and they searched. And that's why the Jews wouldn't believe him and wouldn't receive him. And still don't. Because they do not believe their Messiah would ever suffer. And look what he went on to say. And then it was revealed unto them. These things that they were looking for about the sufferings of Christ, the grace that could come and the salvation that would come, and the Spirit of Christ in them testified, unto whom it was revealed, that not unto themselves, but what was they looking for this for? They ministered unto us. They were ministering to us, teaching these things and looking at these things for us. For us that are here now. For us that search the scriptures now. Now watch this. And which are now reported or which are now preached unto you. These things, these Old Testament things, this Old Testament, this salvation that was prophesied and searched into, that the Spirit of Christ was in, testifying of his suffering, testifying of his glory. It was revealed unto them so that they could preach to us and minister unto us. And then when we learned it and we saw it, we preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, and the angels would stand and love to understand what they've taught. Huh? So those fellas, they spent their time. They spent their time and say, oh, listen, what is Ezekiel talking about right there, about them bones? What's he talking about, them bones? What's he talking about over there, that infant cast out into the field? What's he talking about over there? Huh? What's Isaiah talking about there? Said, he shall be led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a shear before his shears, sheep before his shears. He'd be dumb and he wouldn't even open his mouth. What did he mean when the Lord would bruise him and the Lord would it please the Lord to make his soul an offering for sin? What is he talking about there? Who is this man? What will he be like? What will he look like? When is he going to come? What's he going to do when he gets here? And they said, and they done all that, and they ministered to us in doing that so that when we saw it, we could say, that's it. Oh, my. And then now, since they ministered unto us, we preach the gospel that they searched and inquired into about Christ. We preach the gospel with the Holy Ghost sent down, the gospel that they preached themselves and looked into themselves. Huh? Oh, listen. And then let me give you another one. Let me show you another one. John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Talking about preaching Christ from the Old Testament. You see here that the New Testament tells us how they use the Old Testament to preach Christ and reveal Christ. And they was looking for Christ in the Old Testament. God said, I'm going to give you a sign. He told Isaiah, I'm going to give you a sign. What sign are you going to give me? That a virgin is going to have a child. This is 600 years before Christ ever come. And you go, what are you going to call him? You know who he's going to be? He's going to be Emmanuel, come to be with you. And then everybody thought he's going to be born over such a place. God said, I'm going to take over this little old bitty place called Bethlehem of Ephrata, where nobody knows anything about it, the littlest among all of Judah. He said, that's where I'm going to have him born at. And not only am I going to have him born there, but I'm going to give you a sign with a star, and then when they're going to come and look at him, he's going to be a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, and he's going to lie in a manger. And these fellas looked and looked and looked and looked and looked, seeing when this going to happen. And that's why Anna the prophetess and Simeon, when he came, they knew he was there. How? Because they looked at the scriptures and God said, this is it. This is it. All right, look over here in John 5:39. That's our Lord Jesus Christ speaking now. He says, search the scriptures. Search the scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life. And listen to this. And they are they which testify of me. And then look what he says down in verse 45. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my word? Now, our Lord Jesus Christ himself said, you want to know anything about me, you're going to have to go to the Old Testament. That's what he's saying here. He said, if you all really knew, if you would search the scriptures and know who I am and know why I'm here, you would go to those scriptures and you'd find out that they are telling about me. They testify of me. You go back and search them. You go back and search them. Huh? And then he says there, he said, if you had believed Moses in verse 46, you would have believed me. Why? Because Moses wrote about me. Huh? Oh, and he says, you know what? He said, I'll tell you something. Moses is going to be a witness against you. Ain't that what he says in verse 45? I don't have to accuse you to the Father. There's one that's going to accuse you, even Moses, in whom you trust. Look in John 9, just a moment. John 9, 24. Look in John 9, 24. This is where the Lord opens that blind man's eyes. Been blind all of his life, born blind. The Lord opened his eyes. And oh, it upset the people in the synagogue. Something awful. Then again, they called that man, verse 24, that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I've told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also, listen to this, will you also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple. We are Moses' disciples. For we know that God spake unto Moses. As far as this fellow goes, we don't know where he's from. And so they said, we're going to follow Moses. Our Lord Jesus said, if you believed anything Moses said, you'd have to believe me because Moses wrote about me. And that's why I said, go search the scripture. And if you won't believe his writings, how in the world are you going to believe mine? And I know men can preach on creation. They can preach about Abraham and his faith. They can preach about Isaac and what an example he was as a husband and as a son. And as a promise, they can preach on Jacob and his deception. They can preach on Joseph and what a fine fellow he was. Or they can preach on the law of Moses. And they can preach on all those things and never, ever say anything about Christ. Never say anything about Christ. When everything about the scriptures tells of Christ. Our Lord himself said, O fools and slow of heart to believe all things written in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. And when he says all things there, all the prophets and all the scriptures, they tell about me. And so, beloved, I'm telling you, everybody in the New Testament who done any preaching, Preach from the Old Testament. The Old Testament scriptures makes us wise unto salvation. Let me show you this in 2 Timothy and I'll be done. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3. They're talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, listen. Paul told Timothy here in 2 Timothy 3:14. Look what he says here. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, and of knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child. Now listen to this. Continue in these things. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. What Scriptures? There wasn't no scriptures to know, but Malachi back all the way to Genesis. That's all they had. That was over 400 years that there was not a prophet, not a word from God from the time of Malachi until John the Baptist came. Over 400 years, not a thing, not a whisper come from God. And on then he says, you know, and that from a child that has known the Holy Scriptures. Huh? And what about these scriptures that you know, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation? Salvation. Where at? Through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And all he knew was the Old Testament. He said, and he said, them Old Testament scripture gave you faith in Christ. You know how Paul, let me tell you this and I'm through, that Paul on the Damascus Road, after God smit him down and after he had received his sight on the third day, they let him down. He straightway preached Christ in Damascus. Straightway preached Christ. How could he possibly do that? He didn't have a Bible other than the Old Testament. And he took the Old Testament straightway, showed from the Scriptures that this was the Christ. This was the Christ. And he goes on down here to say, and this is why all Scripture, this makes you, it's the Scriptures able to make you wise unto salvation through faith in Christ. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for our teaching, for to reprove us, to correct us, and instruct us in righteousness. And listen to this now, that the man of God may be perfect or mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. What's all good works? Preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. He's furnished. He's got something to say, because the Scriptures are given by inspiration of God. Our Father, in the blessed name of Christ our Lord, thank you for allowing us this time this evening. And I pray that you take what's been said and use it to your glory and our good. Father, to whom can we go but to you? To whom can we look but you? Whom can we trust but you? Who is our salvation if it's not you, Lord Jesus? We thank you for thy mercies, thy grace, thy great patience and long-suffering with us. And thank you for making us wise in the Scriptures unto salvation through faith, which is in our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for doing that for us. In his blessed name, amen. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. See you Sunday morning, God willing.